Guys, summertime in Austin is an incredibly intense time. I get in my car and I look at the temperature reading. It is sometimes 111 degrees in the afternoon. I can only imagine that if you're rehearsing in your garage, it is absolutely terrible. Get out of your garage, find a new place to rehearse. I'm talking about Space Rehearsal and Recording, located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms. All the air conditioning you need, a great place to get your act together as a band, 512-448-9518, or go to spaceatx.com, Space Rehearsal and Recording. Get out of the heat.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend, whatever it was that you did, and you're enjoying your summer. I have a great show for you guys today. The band Bell Curve is here. They're a relatively new band made up of members of different bands. My friend Matt Parmenter, formerly of Quiet Company, reached out to me and he was like, hey man, we got some new tunes. You know, they started out a while back. They lost a member to suicide. They got it back together. They've started writing and recording a bunch of songs. They have a new single called Hot Mess, which you'll hear on this show, but it's coming out sometime very soon. My friend Matt also owns Ice Cream Factory Studios. So they've been recording there and getting their act together. I got to hear some songs after the podcast, after we did it. Sat around and listened to some more tunes of theirs, and they were really great. Anyway, we had a great conversation. It was very fun, and we had a lot of laughs, but it also gets pretty heavy, all right? If you live in Austin, they're playing a show tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 20th, at Hotel Vegas. So get on over to Bell Curve. You can find them on Facebook, B-E-L-C-U-R-V-E, in case you didn't read the podcast you're listening to. Find them on Facebook. We have a great conversation. That's coming up in just a second. Let me tell you, what's going on with me? I've had a pretty weird week. Had no gigs with Skyrocket over the weekend. Got to go out to a great art opening at my friend Bale Creek Allen's art studio, Bale Creek Allen Studios. I got to see the art of Boyd Elder and also meet him. Boyd Elder, in case you don't know, he's done tons of art throughout his life, and he's a big-time artist, but he did the cover of the Eagles' Greatest Hits. Yeah, and it was hanging up in there. Yeah. There's a theory that if you look real close, it looks like it's made of dust. They say it's the cocaine under there because you know how the Eagles were. Anyway, it was a great, great time. I ran into so many people I've known throughout my life, people I haven't seen in years. I mean, so many that I just kind of stayed there, and I had plans to do other stuff, but I just stayed there and hung out with people I've worked with, people I knew from Houston before I moved to Austin, people I've known for the last 25 years since I've moved here. It was just great. It was fantastic. A great meeting of people, and Boyd's art was great, and Bale's studio is fantastic. Look it up, Bale Creek Allen. It's got a great studio. If you live in Austin, you can get out there and see it. In other news, guys, I got hacked and robbed this week through Facebook. Yeah, sometimes I buy ads when I have people on the show, on this podcast, that are from other cities. I will buy an ad and kind of focus it into their city so that people find out that it's going on there and their fans can check out the show. And I had my PayPal account hooked up to Facebook so I could do it automatically. No fuss, no muss. But I got hacked and I got robbed. And PayPal was very cool. They replaced the money that was stolen. It was $250. The thieves tried to take more, but PayPal and my bank put a stop to it because they realized what was happening. I guess that's the one plus of the man knowing all your moves. They're like, hey, Johnny doesn't normally spend money like this and they on Facebook. And so they stopped it. So anyway, look out. Be careful. Change your passwords often. Don't use the same password for everything. I made some online mistakes. All of that has changed. Have all new passwords. I have all different passwords. And I need to write them down so that I don't forget those passwords. My name is Johnny. I'm completely insane. Welcome to my show, How Did I Get Here? Speaking of insane, the band Bell Curve, Sarah, Matt, Blue, and Michael all came by. I don't normally talk to whole bands all the time, but this one was a very fun one. We had a great conversation. We were missing Deidre Gott, who sings with them, but she was not able to come by. But I am friends with Deidre, too, outside of the band, and she's a fantastic person. She works over at KUTX 98.9. We have a good time hanging out, and she's a great person, all right? This band is loaded with great people. They have a great story. They're all very, very entertaining and very sweet and sensitive people that have been through a lot over the last few years and are continuing to make music and surviving in this industry and surviving what life hands them, and they're able to get through it with each other and with music. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me while I talk to Sarah, Matt, Blue, and Michael, and Deidre's there in spirit. This is a new band called Bell Curve. Enjoy my conversation. Have a great week. Go see him play tomorrow, Wednesday, July 20th at Hotel Vegas. All right? Let's get down. You guys look pretty crowded in there, but you look very comfortable and cute.
Yeah.
This podcast is 4.5 hours, and you cannot go to the bathroom during it. It is like, did you guys ever hear of Est?
I'm going to the bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah.
John Denver's religion of choice.
Oh, was he in that?
Yeah.
Glory holding.
Was it a religion, or was it like a psychological movement where they break you down to build you up again? Wasn't that
is
right?
Is there
you
any
create
difference?
Yourself anew? Yes. Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so how you guys have not been a band for very long.
No.
Nope.
We would, let's say the lineup as it exists now, maybe 2.5 months, 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah, something like that.
When did you record, this single?
We recorded actually that particular song was tracked at the Bubble like 4 years ago. We did some retracking on it and remixed it, about November.
All right. Okay. I remember you wrote a thing in there. Sorry about that.
Yeah. That was tracked quite some time ago.
Yeah, I started that 5-6 years ago with Frenchie.
Was it that long ago?
How did this start? It started with you, so?
Yeah. and I just kind of had a bunch of musicians that I threw on it. And then I left.
Really fantastic musicians. They're like some favorite musicians. Yeah, who
are some of these faceless, nameless?
So this, great. Are we talking about Hot Mess?
Yeah.
Yes. John Windsor and everything.
So that song has, John Windsor, Phil Arjipu. Actually, yeah, it does have
Ajarapu.
Ajarapu. Yeah. Sorry, I'm the best with mispronouncing people's last names.
I'm fastest on the wrong syllable.
Phil also played with Silver Ships or on Silver Ships.
Oh yeah, I like those guys. Yeah.
And Bone Thugs and Harmony.
And he played for 4 years with Bone Thugs in studio in Cleveland. Yeah,
that's crazy. Wow.
He was their bass player on like most of their big stuff.
And so, what were you doing? Were you just doing were you being a solo artist?
Yeah, I kind of originally I was gonna call it Castro because that's my last name.
Yeah.
And
are you Hispanic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you really fast.
Build a wall? No, I'm just kidding. Joke.
Too soon? Too soon.
That's hilarious.
Space right here.
I was in a band. My last name is Gowdy, and my band was called Gowdy, and I'm Hispanic as well. Mm-hmm. And just the other day, my friend Kyle was like, how did you end up, like, I know it's your name, but how did you end up with your last name as a band? Do you guys know Austin bands?
Austin bands.
Austin bands.
Oh, okay. Do we know?
In general, it's like someone's name and then the word band after.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. So I told him, I was sitting backstage at Antone's with Rick Del Castillo and AJ Vallejo, who are also Hispanic, and one guy has a band called Del Castillo, and the other guy has a band called Vallejo, and they said, just use your name. That's what we do. But that's not true.
Yeah, that's kind of I
Castro.
Yeah,
that's a great name. Well, although it has some weird political
connotations.
Yeah, which is funny. In Los Angeles, when I was a lot younger, we had a thing called Castro and the Sarah Castro and the Gosh, I forgot it.
Castronomic.
You forgot the name. Of your
I forgot the name, but we got anyway. I'm not.
And the talk. Revolutionaries.
No, Sarah Castro perfect. And the
Comunistas.
Gosh, I forgot. But I got an email from a band saying, "Oh, you can't use that last name."
Because... What about Bell Curve? That's
so
a...
Bell Curve came.
Is it the Bell Curve?
It's no. Bell Curve. It okay. came when I first moved to Austin, like 10 years ago. I had another. I moved here with a guitar player, and we got a band together here with a guy named John Vishnesky and some other people. And so that started. We played for maybe a year or so, but never really got like a lot of traction. And then my guitar player went back to Austin. I mean, back to Portland, and I just gave it a rest. And then a few years later, I recorded with Frenchie, called it Castro, played with a lot of random different musicians. James Bocart played with me from Whiskey Shivers for a little bit. Mm-hmm. John Windsor.
James is good at banjo.
Yeah, just a bunch of different random people. And then when I got these three songs with Frenchie, I just left Austin for about 3 years. And
where'd you go?
On the road. I had a sales job.
Oh, really? Selling what?
Skincare products.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. You have lovely skin.
Thank you.
What are these products? Tell me afterwards.
And I just wanted to give music a break. And so
sometimes you got to.
Yeah.
I get tired of sleeping on people's floors.
Yeah, and I had a bit of a, maybe a year ago, I had a bit of a, like, a kind of a mental breakdown just on the fact of not playing music. I couldn't do it anymore. A couple months later, I was working at a coffee shop outside of KETX, and Quiet Company was playing
Studio 1A,
and I got asked to do a little sing-along with them. and I was, in the meantime, I was looking for someone to mix some songs that I had done with Sweetheart Studios, which is a kind of a newer studio on the east side. Mm-hmm.
Sort of put together from people from Bobby Jealousy and some other things. It's Seth Gibbs. I don't know if you know him, but great bass player, great songwriter.
Jimmy Wildcat.
I don't know Jimmy Wildcat.
He's good from Bad Lovers.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. So. Looking for someone to mix these songs, and Matt just so happened to find me on Facebook, sent me a message, and then a dialogue started. And it was really kind of really cool and serendipitous because it was his last performance with Quiet Company.
Well, to be perfectly accurate, it wasn't my last performance, but it was definitely my last Studio 1A performance.
That's right. Company. Yeah.
It was about three before my last performance.
Right.
I was standing there, and I hear this like super strong harmony coming from behind me. I'm like, she just learned the song now.
Yeah.
Who is that? And we started talking. I was like, yeah, you got a voice going on.
Yeah,
she's like, I got songs too.
Thanks.
And I was like,
that song.
Yeah. She was like, I got songs. I was like, I got a studio. Like, let's do stuff. And there we are. Yeah.
And then I had met Matt. I was working at the Starbucks, and Matt came in. And I was like, I know you from somewhere. And then we got to talking about music for, God, at least about an hour or so.
Turns out he's my father.
Yeah.
He's also my twin sister.
Yeah, we're all...
It's crazy.
It's a family really man. Weird family dynamic. But, you know, it works. And we're in the process of pitching a reality TV show to Lifetime. And we'll see where it goes from there. So we talked about music. And I said, hey... If you ever need some drums in the studio, yada yada. And so he had me come do some drums for a couple different projects, and then one of them turned out to be Sarah, and just kind of retracking some things that she had already done. And then on the third time we went in there, it was like, hey, you guys just want to start a band? And basically, Sarah, no matter what she says, she did that so that she wouldn't have to pay me as a session musician anymore.
Of course. Yeah.
It's not because she likes you.
It's not because she wants me to be in the band anymore.
It's not because he's a free badass drums. Drummer.
It's just like she's, what's the American word? Cheap.
Yeah.
But then the fact that I agreed to it, what does that say about myself?
You know, yeah.
You're
I would say that I'm selling myself short, but then we start making short jokes, and then Blue comes in the mix, and it's just not good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blue's
so you were just working at Starbucks, and you told Matt, hey, if you ever need any drums in the studio, I'm around. And and you were like, hey, man, I need some drums in the studio.
Well, it was also handy because he lives about 6 blocks from the studio.
Right.
So I was just like, hey, walk over here. I've got everything you need. Just sit down and hit stuff.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. Yeah. Were you stoked about that? Like, is
always.
Are you having a good time now?
Recording is my favorite thing to do in the world. I mean, it's... Sure, I love performing on stage, and that's... It's just a whole different animal. But there's just something to be said about the creative process and, you know, putting it down. And then these recordings will live long after I am gone, you know? It's just creating something timeless. Yeah. And Sarah's a great songwriter. And... given and she gives us creative liberty with the songs.
Yeah.
And it's there's no bad idea. You know, we'll try everything to see what works, and the dynamic that is within the five of us, Deidre is not here.
Right.
It's really great. We communicate well, but there's just something about that creative process that is just, I feel at home with it.
Yeah.
And these songs can just take a whole different shape than we intended, and it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
What about you, Blue? What do you play?
I play guitar in this band.
Okay.
And a little bit of bass.
And a little bit of bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that fun?
It's wonderful. Maybe like the second week that I started playing with you guys,
yeah.
Matt decided to go buy a vintage Echoplex.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like
beautiful.
It's such a fabled machine.
It's a beautiful
I didn't
machine.
Actually expect to ever get to use one. And so yeah. He brought it in. He's like, here you go. Like, just set this up and try this. And yeah, we get to play with a lot of interesting sounds in this band I haven't got a chance to do before, which is pretty exciting as a musician.
Yeah. Well, I've only heard Hot Mess, but you guys have an album of tunes?
Just about, yeah. I think we've got about, 9 songs now?
Well, now 10 as of last week.
At least.
But there are still more on the back burner that
yeah.
we haven't finished yet.
So what we'll probably end up doing is single, followed by EP, followed by second EP, followed by box set, followed by retrospective.
Behind the Music.
VH1 special.
Right. Yeah.
Then 2 years from now.
They don't even do those anymore.
2 years from now, there's going to be Where Are They Now?
Oprah?
Yeah.
You know?
Oprah. She doesn't even do it anymore.
We're going to go from How Did I Get Here to Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
Exactly. and then yeah, it's kind of like, look under your chair.
They're actually the same show.
The same show.
Let me add. Okay, so you're gonna release the single Hot Mess at Hotel Vegas on the 20th of.
Are we?
Was that the plan?
I'm not. Was the plan?
Were we just talking?
We were just talking about it.
I'm just following orders. No, I can't edit it. So there's gonna be this massive.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Part.
Yeah.
But
no,
I just
told.
Do what I'm what I read in emails that people send me about themselves.
No, that's totally fine. Okay.
We're just gonna have to let it go. Fine. It's ready.
So listen, I'm your manager,
well,
and you are releasing this single that day because
So think. Okay, we are. That's it. Well, there were some things writing on that, but I mean, I don't see
we
why
can
not. We need to
release it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we will.
Okay,
I think we should.
I thought that
who's
was
on,
just
who's
like
on
the
bill? Who's on the bill at Hotel Vegas?
It's Rocky and the Wildcat. Rocky Bullwinkle is her. I'm
Rocky and Bullwinkle. Please tell me.
I'm 47 years old.
That's
like
how
an
you
actual
say
cartoon.
I know.
Yeah, like when you're saying
Rocky
and Bullwinkle
are
playing.
Right there with you.
Yeah.
That's not how you
excited.
Say her last
me too.
Name.
It's a real thing.
Hey, watch me pull it.
You know? Do you know that there's a new band called The Pretenders?
No, there's an old band called Pretenders.
Old band called Pretenders.
Where are you going, by you?
I'm looking for my phone so I can get the Reputations.
Okay.
Yeah, it's this band called The Reputations, which is way different than The Pretenders. They're really good.
Okay.
Same thing. It's Jimmy and Rocky. And then, actually, I've been a little overwhelmed lately, so I haven't even looked at who all is on the bill. So, which is why I haven't really been working.
You know
what
day of the week the 20th is?
So Wednesday.
Wednesday. Okay. Yeah.
So Wednesday the 20th. I'll put this out on the 19th.
Cool. That's great. Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So there'll be a
show tomorrow. You guys. I got to wink at people because sometimes they go, no, it's not till the 20th.
That's what I'm trying to do. People that listen.
So we're playing tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, the 20th.
At Hotel Vegas. Have you guys, how many shows have you played as a band?
Two.
Yeah. Officially.
Yeah. As a complete band, two.
It's a very short, the how did I get here part of this conversation was very short.
Yes.
Yeah. We became a band. We played two shows.
We're here.
I mean, not many bands finish their record before they ever play a show.
No. That's true.
We're not quite finished with it, but we're like 80%.
We're more than 80%.
Okay.
84.
At least 87.
Where are all of you guys from? Let's start with Blue, because you're really not talking. So we're going to force you.
I'm waiting. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Massachusetts.
Oh, nice. Where in Massachusetts?
I grew up in a town called Westford, which is right next to Lowell, home of Jack Kerouac.
Yeah.
Crack capital of the country for a long time.
That's where I get the good crack.
Yeah, totally.
And when did you move to Austin?
I came here 9.5 years ago. I was living in New York before that, which was real stressful.
Yeah, it's stressful. This is the opposite of living in New York.
It was. Yeah. I don't know where it's going now. But it's much more laid back here.
Yeah.
Warmer, good economy.
What brought you here? Music or?
Yeah, there was a girl. There's a music scene. There's a easy promise of work.
Still with the girl?
No.
I like that question. That's my favorite. Everyone just looked at me like, what are you going to ask now?
Dead silence.
No, I was really excited about the music scene here.
No, I'm joking. No, so you liked the music scene?
Yeah, I love the music scene here.
You start playing when you came here?
It actually took me maybe like a month or two.
Okay.
And then
that's still pretty quick.
Yeah. After that, I've just been constantly playing.
That's awesome.
For the last like almost 10 years.
That's great.
Yeah.
Sarah, you moved here from Portland, California.
Yeah, California. 9.5 years ago.
Same.
And same thing. Just like the music, the warmth.
Yeah.
It's a little hot, but
there was a girl.
And there was
a
girl. Plus her twin sister, myself.
Yeah. That's lost. About it.
Michael, where are you from?
Well, even though we are twins, you know, I
they
grew
can't
up,
see you pointing
so,
at
no,
me.
No, but he can. So I grew up around the Dallas area. This is my third time living here in Austin. I've lived in Florida. I've lived in Atlanta. I've lived in Minneapolis.
What took you to all those places?
School, friends. I had a tragic event happen. And I needed to kind of change of scenery because I was in a pretty dark place. And so all of my old friends from school in Florida were all moving to Atlanta. And so we all moved in and played music there for a while.
That's cool.
I came back to Dallas, had a good band for a little while, and then...
Did you used to go to the Claremont Lounge there in LA?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See Blondie?
I did never see Blondie.
You never saw Blondie? I've only seen Blondie when I go there.
Yeah, that's like, that place is legendary.
It is legendary.
If we ever go to Atlanta.
I hung out with Big Boy and Andre 3000.
They're always around. I saw Andre and
like there was a person that I was with that knew them too and was like, oh, you guys want to hang out with these dudes? And we're like, fuck yeah. It was before the Hey Yeah. It was like a year or two before Hey Yeah.
Yeah, I was living in Atlanta when Hey Y'all came out. It was crazy. Nice.
Yeah, it must have been crazy. Yeah.
Like going down Little Five Points.
I love that area, man. I love Atlanta.
Right behind Little Five Points Pizza, there's a really great recording studio called Glow in the Dark. Producer there, his name's Matt Goldman. He's a really great producer.
What did you do in Dallas? What was your...
I was in a band called Otis for a while. It's kind of like that rock soul.
Is that a popular band? Why do I know that band?
I don't know.
There's one called Otis the Destroyer.
No, not Otis the Destroyer. I know Otis the Destroyer.
They're from here, but I remember Otis, I think.
Otis, it's O-D-I-S. We did okay.
Did you guys play at the Curtain Club and stuff?
Yeah.
Was it in the time of like South FM?
Mm-hmm.
And shit? Like, did you guys do shows with them?
Yeah, we did.
Paco, I think we might have done a show together.
Probably. Yeah. Do you know Paco?
I know Paco, yeah. Yeah. I know Paco.
Paco's great.
I sang on his last album.
Yeah. He's getting better. He was pretty sick. Yeah, recently.
He's here recording now. He's at the
Orb. I didn't know that.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Yes. He's got a great voice.
Amazing voice. Great and songwriter,
he's,
too. Cool
he's
guy.
Just a good person.
Solid.
So, yeah, I did that. I was in that scene for a while, and I was replaced. And then after summer of 2009, I tried to figure out what I wanted to do. I did some tour managing for a little while.
Who'd you tour manage?
Jonathan Tyler, the Northern Lights, for a little while.
That's cool.
From Dallas.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But then, like, there's this band from around here called Statesboro Review. I ended up moving down here to play drums for them for a few years. Then I left that, moved back to Dallas, ended up coming back here again. Went to Minnesota, came back again.
Why Minnesota? What happened there?
There was a girl.
Okay.
But it's someone that I knew from home.
Okay.
And then, so we came back. Long story short, I'm back.
You're here.
And then all this happened. And
things are going
good. I can't
believe
we've won 3 Grammys.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
You know, I hate to say this. Always the funniest person is the person that has, like, some tragedy in their life. Like, it's the guy that's always going. And it's almost like the greatest defense mechanism ever made psychologically. You know what I mean?
No, it really is.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The funniest people I know are always like I just did a podcast with a dude, and he was so funny, and he had this intense, crazy story about his life that was very dark and fucked him up for a long time, and he came out of it. When you come out of it, you're fucking funny. Like, if you're funny, you are profoundly funny.
Yeah.
We're not
there are
funny.
Those guys like there's the
it's
occasional
often really dark,
like,
really dry.
Like Will Ferrell kind of guy that's like, he's a nice guy that comes from a nice family and he's funny.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. Maybe a past life thing happened to him.
Yeah.
But I think so I appreciate you, Michael. That's
well,
all I'm trying to
it
say.
Took
I love
a while.
You,
it
I want
took
you to
me
stay
a while
here
after
to and just make me laugh.
It took me a while after the tragic event to kind of really come back out of it. Also, long story short, I was in a car accident with an old band, and had a bad concussion, and I was laying in the middle of the highway after the accident, and my bass player threw me out of the way of a truck and got hit by it instead and passed away. Wow. So there was the whole survivor's guilt thing, but then it was like one day it was a sudden shift in perspective.
Yeah.
And it was that I'm alive and my friend sacrificed his life for me, and it would completely do a dishonor to that if I didn't pursue my love and my passion, which is music.
I'm
broke as hell, but
you're
I love
welcome
this.
To live here anytime you want. You're
you know,
like
that
officially
was that
my
was 14
person,
years
Michael.
Ago.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a really special dynamic within this group. There's been a lot of serendipitous things. Deidre's not here, but she also, I've known her for a long time, and I've been wanting her to sing with me for a long time. But her schedule's always been really crazy. And because I was working at right outside of a KUTX, and she just got a job. She got a job like a few months after I worked for KUTX.
Oh, you mean Deidre? Deidre. Mm-hmm.
Deidre.
I was just
Deidre
with her the other night.
Yeah,
I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
And so she just got a job there, and our schedules were just like the same, and she all of a sudden had this free time, just out of the blue, and was looking for a project or just something creative, a creative outlet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But right after that. Right after we decided her to...
I'm sorry, that's why. Said that we had the most personal conversation, like, just right off the bat at this thing the other day. And She made me laugh really hard. I love her.
She has no filters, and that's what I love about her.
She has no filter.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
I did at one
great.
Point, I was like, you know, we really don't know each other. I can't believe you're telling me this. I
could probably imagine which of a few things she might have been talking
about. How sad that's her, and she's not here.
Yeah, she's also very busy, so.
Yeah.
We're riding on as much of Deidre as we can get, because she has quite a busy life. So right after, it was really wonderful to have her at this time of my life, because right when we decided to start working together, we had created a band with our friend John Windsor, who Blue knows really well, and we had just started getting that like up and running, and John took his life.
Oh.
And so it was...
Oh, I know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was around him a couple of times, too. Yeah, that guy was really funny as well. Yeah. That's what I thought when he died. That guy made me laugh the couple of times that I was around him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sad. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. It was really tough for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And tough for a lot of people, but, you know...
The whole community, Austin community, it just...
Just kind of destroyed it.
Everyone knew him and loved him. Yeah. Like, you didn't know him and not love the guy.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with Sims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing with Sims.
Mm-hmm. So,
like, I was good friends with that guy, and it's sad when you lose those guys, because they're lights in the... Yeah. You don't realize what everyone is. You know what I mean? We're all, like, lights in each other's lives, and we're part of this beautiful community.
Yeah.
And to lose someone, especially someone that you're working with so closely,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry about that. That's sad.
Yeah, he's actually, like, a big part of this whole album, because he started playing with me, like, you know, when I started it. I mean, he's on all of the recordings.
Really?
So, but when that happened, personally, I was, like, it's the hardest death that I've gone through, because I was so, like, connected to him as an idea and as a friend and as someone I looked up to and so on and so forth. But, again, on this serendipitous note, I connected. Well, I've known Blue for a long time too, and had similar feelings towards Blue. Like, always looked up to him, always admired the music that he.
I was waiting for someone to say something. Come on,
damn it, Michael.
No, it is funny because it's not funny. You know what I mean? Like, it's twice as funny as if it were funny because it's not funny. Okay, sorry.
No, I had,
but you guys, yeah.
Yeah, I had, you know, Blue is kind of the only one. Matt and I talked about it a couple days before I approached Blue on it.
Well, there was, felt like it made sense.
There was a timeline there that was kind of cool, because, like, you said... I remember you talking about how, you know, when you asked John if he wanted to play with us, he was like, why didn't you ask me earlier?
He was mad at
me. Yeah, and you were like, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't wait to, you know, to do something because I'm afraid that they're not going to be into it or whatever. I should just ask if I want, you know, if I want something to happen, I should just ask.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you
then
remember that long
John
text
passed away,
I sent you?
And then, like... Yeah, and then a few days later, you know, Sarah's like, I should ask Blue because, you know, he's been top of mind for a while now. And so you asked him, and then didn't you run into Blue on the side of the road, like, just walking?
Gave me a ride.
Gave you a lift to work?
I
take a bus. I walk around the city a lot. I don't have a car right now. It's really nice when, like, a friend stops. Yeah, Michael does as well.
We're bus buddies.
Yep.
Weird.
And it's nice when a friend stops and it's like, you want to ride? Which is... cool to spend time with somebody, and then we talked about the band. At the time, I was very concerned about how much free time I had to spare. And then they showed me the stuff. I just think it's fantastic.
You're like,
music.
I can make time for this.
Yeah. Really like the style, and it has a lot of opportunities for you know, a different take on guitar for me. But really, what a tremendous honor, which is very sad and very exciting at the same time, to get to play John's parts and do him honor in that way.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's tremendous to me.
Yeah.
So. Thanks for asking me.
Oh, absolutely.
Our pleasure. On the
podcast.
For real.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, where you... Okay, you played with Quiet Company.
Yep.
And I remember talking to you at the release show for Transgressor, right? I think I was really high, and I was trying to figure out who had those
which
trackers or something. Like your manager or something was had cereal or something, and I was like, "Hey, you got another box of that?" Because I'm just hanging out here.
It was Triscuits.
It was Triscuits.
Yeah, we had Triscuits because we'd just gotten a Triscuit placement, like a huge national commercial placement. So we just went and got a bunch of Triscuits, and I think that might have even been the same night that I delivered the official, or it was the night that I got everybody to sign a box of Triscuits because.
I was so high.
Well, that was part of it.
We're gonna do that with Topo.
Bill,
right?
Bill and Jen LaDuke are you know a couple that go to tons of shows.
Jen LaDuke, yeah.
And
big fan.
Yeah, and then Bill, yeah, she's awesome. And Bill is the other like guy that goes to you know hundreds and hundreds of shows every year. And he had been to the most shows of anybody during South by of Quiet Company shows.
Yeah,
so. We had this ongoing, like, hashtag box of Triscuits was going to be the prize for whoever went to the most shows. So I was like, I'm going to go get the box of Triscuits and sign it. That's...
Right.
Anyway,
and then I was probably like, don't give it to them, man. They're not high.
I need the box of Triscuits.
I understand the need.
It's like, man, you've already got Cottonmouth.
Just give them the empty box.
Was that the show in Austin at Empire?
It was at Empire, yeah.
Cool, I was there.
Yeah, I hung out with
Frenchie. Triscuits for you.
I hung out with Frenchie at that show.
Triscuits for I just felt a little bad because I didn't have an extra box to hand you.
I know that I was coming up there like when you guys were at the merch booth, and I was like, "What's going on with those crackers, man? I see a lot of boxes."
$7.
Oh, I just remember I showed up at the end of that show to meet up with you. I played with the Please Me down at Swan Dive, and I walked over.
Afterwards. Are you still playing with them?
Coming, yeah.
How's that going?
Great. Jesse's in New York for a couple months.
Okay. Because I think I emailed someone recently from that band to see if they wanted to do the show.
I can officially say yes.
Okay. Oh, and you'll come back.
I will come back.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Any other bands you can come in with?
There's a new one called Bell Curve.
Okay. I will have you guys in today before your single. Are you guys sweating yet? Are you guys sweating yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Yeah.
Feeling it.
That's when
so
it's
Matt,
good.
Where did you move here from?
I moved here from Michigan originally, from Cincinnati directly.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I grew up in Michigan, Lansing, and I moved to Chicago in like early '90s, and then I moved to Cincinnati and lived there for about 8 years. And then I moved here.
Did you play in Cincinnati?
In the early '90s.
Was that good?
Yeah. I was in two bands when I was in Cincinnati that were my primary things that I was doing. And I had a recording studio there, which is where I started my studio.
Okay. Ice Cream Factory Studios. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Go there.
That's the one. It's now here. It started in Ice Cream Factory there. But I was in a band right at the end of my time in Cincinnati too, and that kind of brought me down here. Well, kind of directly did, but story goes, I was in a band called Semi-Automatic that was like three guitar, like rock and roll, you know, rock assault. There's probably 600 bands called Semi-Automatic.
Okay, because I'm like,
I think the biggest one was 100. Oh, no. Then I was in a band called Medic that there's a, you know, which is kind of a funny follow-up to Semi-Automatic. But that was more like indie rock and, you know, very kind of introspective stuff and, you know, had more dynamic. It was a little less like full-bore rock and roll. Singer of Semi-Automatic was in a band called Chum that was on Century Media in the 90s sometime. They toured with all the bands that ended up being like the big like bro rock bands later. But they were
what's
like
a bro rock band? Nickelback?
Rock
yeah.
band.
Okay. Yeah, they played with Nickelback before they were big. And so yeah, it was a weird thing. Cincinnati had its good spots, but it kind of dried up for me. And I think I moved there at the worst possible time too, because it was less than a year after I moved there. It was like the 2001 riots.
Oh, yeah.
And like the entire downtown area just turned into a wasteland and everybody moved out. So like the next 8-10 years were just like kind of crap. I had a lot of fun while I was there. I did a lot of, you know, playing good music with good people. And
they had like the coolest radio station in America up there, Woxie.
They used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it moved down here.
Yeah.
And a bunch of my friends came down with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like Matt Shiverdecker and Shiv is his was his.
There was a girl that that worked there that left and went to go work for a big record company that had started by somebody really famous.
Hmm.
And she tried to sign my band when we left Elektra.
Huh.
What was her name? She was the program director of that place.
Oh, man.
When she played us.
I would not know.
Sorry.
At all.
Sorry. I can't remember her name either. Yeah. That's rude.
The other one was Brian Neese. He was the one that was doing all of the lounge sessions. He's the engineer for all those. Huh. So, yeah, and Brian moved back to Cincinnati, and Matt stayed here.
Yeah.
There's a couple others. I don't know. Anyways.
So but then yeah, you ended up coming down here, and how did you hook up with Taylor and Quiet Company?
Well, I was in a band in Cincinnati just before the singer decided to move down here because his wife got accepted to UT.
Okay.
And the guitarist for that band is now the guitarist for Walk the Moon, so he's doing okay.
Okay.
But the singer came down here and he was just like, dude, you got to come and check this out. This city's kind of awesome for musicians. This was like 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I came down and checked it out. I was like, oh, yeah, got to move here.
Yeah.
And it was about 4 months later, I think I actually made my way down here. I was looking on Craigslist for people to play with and before I moved down here. And I found Chris Hawks, who's Don and Hawks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this music's not super like the middle of like what I'm into, but like it's really good and he seems to have his stuff together.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And so I contacted him and I was like, you know, hey, I'm moving down. I'll be here on like, was it the 30th or something like that, or, you know, like May 1st or something, whatever it was. And he was like, oh, cool, we have a show on the 2nd. I was like,
so you were here, you hit the ground running.
Yeah, I got here and it took longer than I expected to actually move everything here and drive the truck here. So I got here, rehearsed with him that evening, rehearsed with him the next afternoon, played that night at Momo's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, I miss Momo's.
With Rob Hooper on drums.
Love Rob Hooper.
He's so good. Yeah, just instant, like, what a great guy, what a great drummer. And
at my bachelor party, like 22 years ago, it wasn't like a stripper scene. It was just all these fucking musician dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just brought all these mushrooms.
Yeah.
And fucking Rob Hooper scared the shit out of me because he's swinging from these trees with, you know, Cornbread?
Oh,
yeah. Mike Trainor? Cornbread and Rob were swinging from this, like, I mean, I was on mushrooms. It might, you know, it seemed like the Empire State Building or something. You're like, come down from there! Someone's gonna die and I can't call 911! So, yeah, sorry. Just whenever Rob comes, I'm sad that he moved away. I love that guy. But so you got to play Momo's?
Yeah, I got to play Momo's the first day I was here. And then I picked up with a couple other bands, musicians that were working on stuff. And then continually looking on Craigslist and you know, for other gigs, you know, stuff to do. Because I'd been doing nothing but recording for like the last year that I was in Cincinnati. And I was just tired of
ready to hit it.
I wanted to play some shows. And it was about 6 months after I moved here or something like that, that I found the ad for a bass player on Craigslist for Quiet Company and went and auditioned, and they had me go and do like a last minute, learn 7 Pixies songs, go to Dallas with us, play Dada for a Halloween show.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
Dada.
So I went up there with them, played the show. It was really good. Felt great. You know, everybody had a lot of fun playing, you know, like more rock and roll stuff than Quiet Company was at the time. Fairly piano in
right.
the,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, a little twee and a little twee. They were at the time, and so yeah. About, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later, I got a call like, you know, hey, you know, want you to join.
Yeah.
And there's no money. And I was like, well, this is no surprise.
But you did. You recorded. You recorded the.
That's music,
the
right?
You were you. Did you guys record at your studio?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We recorded.
And then Tim would mix them.
It depends on the one. The EP I mixed.
Okay.
Songs for Staying In, and then Belong. We Are All Where We Belong. Tim mixed.
Yeah.
The
Transgressor.
Yeah. Transgressor. Tim mixed, but we recorded that at Orb. And then the re-recording of Shine Honesty, Dead Man on My Back,
yeah,
was top to bottom re-record of that album, plus a couple of bonus tracks and some of the songs were slightly re-envisioned.
Yeah.
I tracked all that in my studio, and then we gave it to Mike Major to mix.
Oh, my God.
He's originally El Paso, lives in St. Petersburg now. He did, like, Sparta.
Oh, right.
Some At the Drive-In stuff.
Those are some tough-sounding albums. Those are cool albums.
Yeah, yeah. He did a good job with the Dead Man album.
Yeah.
And then I recorded and mixed the covers EP that we did, too.
Awesome.
And the Christmas EP. So
nice.
You mean Dead Man, like the soundtrack to the movie Dead Man?
No, that's just
just one of the lyrics in one of the
songs.
That
was Neil Young, and it was badass.
Yeah,
it's pretty badass.
Just Neil Young with a guitar.
Yeah,
yeah,
and some tremolo action.
So let me ask you guys this: you get to do you rehearse in this studio?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you have your shit all kind of going. So when you have an idea, you just record.
Yep,
I'm really spoiled.
Yeah,
we typically record.
It's pretty killer, man.
Yeah, we rehearse in headphones with everything. Because there's no PA in the studio.
We record
so everything's still running through the system. So.
And you record all the... And they sound great, I bet.
Yeah,
and so we can go back and listen to the rehearsals.
Yeah.
Kind of like a game. A football team going back and watching the...
Yeah,
it's you know, we haven't played that many shows, but there's been a lot of preparation up until this time. I've been working on this project. I mean, the beginning of
it started five years
ago.
Yeah.
Granted, there was a two-year, like, two-and-a-half-year hiatus of
just
it.
Just driving around. But
the past year...
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. All over the country.
I mean, we really...
But, you know, it's funny because, you know, I was going around for a couple of years, and I had a good paying job. You know, I mean, I had... You make good money being a salesperson. And then I went into a jewelry business with my father because he does ceramics and jewelry, and he's really...
Oh, really?
Really awesome. And I've owed him... Stuff. You know, I owe him so much just for everything he's done throughout my life. So I started a business... with him, but that was taking a lot of energy and a lot of money. I had bought an RV with an ex-boyfriend of mine. I was in a lot of debt, like 80.
What was the plan when you bought the RV with
the boyfriend? We were going to just make money and live on the road, and it was paying for itself because...
You were going to make stuff and sell it at, like, stores?
No. It was with our sales. It was with the sales job that I had.
Okay.
And when we broke up, I just stayed in it, and him and I don't talk anymore, so it kind of all became my responsibility. So I was paying way too much money to live.
Right.
So all at one time, it was another part of this, again, serendipitous part of my life, where I had all this debt. I was making good enough money, but then I just decided to stop doing that. We broke up, and it just was an explosion. So I stopped, came to Austin. I was already in Austin when that happened. But I had all this debt.
Yeah.
So I had a choice. And also the business that I was working on with my dad and my brother that was taking more money and time than it was worth. So I had a decision to, okay, so what do I do? And I'd had that mental breakdown of, like, I can't not do music anymore. It just doesn't work for me.
Right.
So it was a decision. Either you get a job or you work on this business, but it has to be your full-time thing. Like, you can get a job and play music or get a job and work on the business.
Right.
So I couldn't not do music anymore. So I decided to do that. So I got a job, but I was just Ubering, you know, and in a 2-week period, I decided to give the RV back to the bank, ruin my credit. And all I had, and luckily I found a house to move into. All I had was a car. I had a Honda Pilot, you know, that was really nice. And a payment on it, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was like my debt, because the rest of my debt, I said, fuck it, I'm giving it back to the bank.
Right.
And I'm not going to pay anything back. I got to lower my expenses. So I started Ubering, and that was the only way I could. I didn't have another way of making money. So I was like, that got me out of trouble, and I totaled my car.
Oh, no.
I had a scooter.
So wait, all three of you guys don't have cars?
No, I have a car. I have a different car.
Just two of us.
Yeah, I have a different car that my dad actually brought me. It's my old car.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, cars. Yeah, so we have two cars. Well, Deidre has a car, but really it lays on Matt and I, transportation.
Yeah.
It's nice. I mean, it'll change at some point.
Mom and dad.
It's all family
so
in a band.
So when I totaled the car, I had no money, and I had no credit, and no way of getting another car at the moment. And I was at the time, I wasn't going to take anything from my dad. I didn't want to. But and I had a scooter, and I had no way of making money.
Right.
You know.
It's hard to Uber
and
a scooter.
I randomly, well, I knew that the job that I have now you know, was hiring, and I was going to work in sales with them. That's Texas Coffee Traders.
Okay, yeah.
And I was going to work in sales, which is like, I was like, I'll do sales. That's fine. Well, they needed someone specifically for the KUT spot.
Oh, wow.
And they just picked me because I seemed like the nicest person. And I'm an all right lady.
Yeah, you don't seem, I don't have any problem with you.
Wait, we're recording right now. Yeah, she's great. She's
all right. So they picked me for that. So that's kind of even how I met Matt, because I decided to give my car back. I had a mental breakdown, needed to do music, needed to stop doing what I was doing, give my RV back to the company or back to the bank, ruin my credit, total my car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden...
This is how you write good songs.
Yeah, sacrifice. That's true. It is about sacrifice.
Yeah.
Just fuck it.
This is where good songs come from.
But now look at you.
Well, yeah.
You gotta get us now.
Hotel Vegas. Do you guys know what time you play at Hotel Vegas?
What time is the Hotel Vegas
show? What
time
do we play? Yeah.
I
really never know until the day of.
I was just about to, before this, I was about to call Jimmy and see what's happening.
Let's just say
10.
Is there a way to find you guys online?
You can find us on Bell Curve Instagram.
B-E-L-C-E-R-R.
Yeah.
Yeah, one L, all one word.
Right.
Yeah. Bell Curve. Yeah.
Bell Curve.
And no V.
We're also on Facebook.
Yes, no. You're Bell Curve on Facebook.
Yeah.
Bell Curve on Instagram.
Yeah, what's that?
Twitter.
You need a URL for the Facebook.
Facebook is just, facebook.com/Bell Curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, same with Instagram. Just
so people can keep up with you. You don't have a website yet, but it's all going to be coming.
Yeah, it's all in the works.
We have a URL. We just haven't put anything on it, right?
Just baby stuff.
All right. It'll be on the Facebook. Just go to the Facebook. There's probably an Instagram. And you can get involved. Yeah. Is there anything that I'm missing?
Who cares about anything but Instagram anyways?
Really?
I post regularly.
We're going to have our own custom Pokemons for Pokemon Go for everyone.
I don't even know what Pokemon Go is.
I just released two days ago.
I'm old and I don't have kids, so there's a whole SpongeBob is something that I've seen on a thing. I don't relate to it Darren. Darren can sing all the songs from SpongeBob.
Here's the beauty.
He's got a kid.
Here's the beauty of Pokemon Go.
Okay.
It is getting so many people out of their houses, wandering around the city, holding their phones.
All right, because it's taking place. And I saw it on the news.
Yeah, you have to go and find it.
This is a thing.
Yeah. There's more people on that right now than on Twitter.
Yeah.
What is Pokemon Go?
And it's hilarious. We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about it later.
It's great.
Yeah.
But
by the time this comes out, it's going to be old news.
Yeah, it's hilarious because all these people are very obviously basement warriors. They're all they're all super pale and have never exercised.
Running down the street.
They're you can just see them running around looking at their phones.
Getting hit by a bus.
I don't know what world is. How does world work? It's amazing. It's so hard to watch. I saw three of them on South Congress in a block.
I saw three of them.
One block. In one block. One of them was running.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the first time you've run in 3 years. I can tell. You have no form.
This is so great.
Okay, so the single is called Hot Mess. It will be released at some point. But
Soon.
Keep on checking the Facebook, Bell Curve. And they will be tomorrow night, Wednesday, the 20th of July, 2016, at Hotel Vegas, one of my favorite places. I love that place.
It's a dirty rock and roll bar.
It is. And there was a band in here earlier. It's a big Latin band that I was talking to. And they're playing there. A full-on cumbia band. And that's what I think is cool about that place. El Tule.
Okay.
They're totally Latin. Anyway. Thank you guys for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to meet you guys, and always great to see you, Matt.
Great to see you too.
To come down to the Ice Cream Factory Studios and hang out.
You're gonna have to check it out. You're obviously a fan of keyboards.
Who's another guy that we know that was telling me? Did you record with Casey McPherson?
He's my studio partner.
He's your studio partner. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, we just recently he did some co-writing with Jim Ward. From at the drive-in.
Oh, wow.
And they hung out at the studio for a couple of days and tracked four songs.
Awesome.
And it was, super great experience. And I got to engineer the whole thing. So it was really fun. And we're going to do more of that. Did a co-write with Zeely, and I'm kind of helping with the engineering on that too. So.
I love him.
So yeah, Casey's a great guy. He's involved in all sorts of cool stuff, and some of it he won't even tell you about.
Yeah,
like the heavy metal supergroup.
It's classified.
I get him to talk about the Color Factory Wheel. I don't know what it's called, like, but it's got the guy from Dream Theater in it.
And Deep Purple and
And the guy, what's his name?
Yeah,
the blonde
Mike
guy.
Portnoy and Portnoy and
is Portnoy's in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Portnoy.
Yeah.
Holy
Casey's in a band with
crap.
Portnoy. Yeah.
Mind is exploding right now.
Yeah,
but it's like one of the 532 bands that Mike Portnoy is in.
Yeah,
like,
but
I mean, it's
like,
not the one that
he
Instagrams
do,
about.
He can do whatever the hell he wants. He's
Color Wheel,
brilliant.
Color Wheel. Yeah,
Color Wheel.
Yeah,
Portnoy's brilliant.
Yeah, and Casey's brilliant too.
Casey's brilliant. Casey's one of the that's a guy.
We found a really happy working relationship where he like writes songs with somebody, and then I'm like, I can do all this weird stuff with it, and he's like, cool.
Yeah,
and we try stuff.
He had a baby recently, so
yeah, that's
still not sleeping.
That's what brought Matt and I together. Really, is that we both like to do weird things.
Yes,
yeah.
Weird sounds.
Sonically.
Yeah. Sonically, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll have to
and we also probably individually do a
I'll
lot
have to
of
link,
weird things.
Yeah.
What?
I'll have to link you to the song that was the first real like the song that we got together on where we started really experimenting.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And Fish.
Fish. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I want to hear it.
It's like if Tom Waits and a witch got together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like really sick, and then Matt called me. I just got off work, and Matt's like, hey, you want to come down
no,
to the studio?
I called you.
Oh, yeah. Well, Matt was, you called, matter. But Matt was like, I was like, no, I'm not feeling it. I was like, I need you to come do some Tom Waits stuff. And I was like, okay,
like
I'm on my way
cans?
Right now. Well, no, sort of hubcaps.
Yeah.
Two different hubcaps.
Yeah.
And
which we've used for this new song.
We also used one of those hubcaps on this new song we did last week,
which is pretty much just straight hip hop.
It's
kind of.
It's pretty gangsta.
I'm stoked. I want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing this live. So tomorrow night, Hotel Vegas, Bell Curve. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Sarah. And thank you, Blue. You
thank
guys
you.
Are
Deirdre,
awesome.
Who's not here.
And Deirdre, who's not here. Deirdre. Why am I always saying Deirdre?
It's okay,
Deirdre?
People do that.
I think there is a name, Deirdre, right?
There is.
Yes,
and then there's Deirdre.
Yeah.
It's fuckery. That's like having like John and then Jun.
Jun.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Or Jorn.
Yeah.
Jorn.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank
you for having us.
You made my pick of your dirty
Bell Curve. Great conversation with those guys. In fact, they ended up hanging out afterwards for a while. We ended up listening to some more of their music, which is really different than this tune, Hot Mess, that you're getting to hear. And you can find them if you're in Austin tomorrow night. If you're listening to this the day that it comes out, they are playing tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 20th at Hotel Vegas right here in Austin, Texas. Get out there and see them. Check out this music. They're a fantastic band. I want to thank Sarah, Matt, Blue, and Michael for coming by. Deirdre, we did miss you, girl. Yeah. You know how it is. Anyway, I want to thank them for coming by. Great conversation, Hot Mess. Great single. I don't know if you can pick it up yet, but find Bell Curve on Facebook and hassle them about it, okay? Thank you guys for coming by. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, while you're out there online looking up Bell Curve, if you're on Facebook, you can like our Facebook page. It's called How Did I Get Here? Like it. You'll get pictures, a picture of me with the Bell Curve being silly. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Johnny Gowdy. You can find my musings there, and then my photographic musings on Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes if that's how you listen to your podcast, or if you listen to it on the podcast app on your iPhone, or if you listen to it on your podcast app on your Android phone. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher, which is a great platform and a great app to stream over 30,000 shows right to your phone without eating up any of the memory. So you can like us on there too, all right? Follow the show. Give us a thumbs up. It's always nice to hear from you. If you want to say something about the show, give us a shout out right on our Facebook page. Say, hey, I like this show, or I didn't like this show, or anything. Anything you want to say, all right? I want to thank the Bell Curve for coming by. Check them out. Go out there and see them tomorrow night. If you're listening to this the day that it comes out and you live in Austin, Texas, you can see them tomorrow night, Wednesday, July 20th at Hotel Vegas. Have a great day. Let's get down. You